Well, in leadership, one of the biggest myths is that now that we've worked on our stuff, our hurts, hangups, and habits, and broken relationships, I've got it now. Thank you for this new calling on life, and I'll take it from here, Lord. And that's a disaster waiting to happen, isn't it? What are some of those things that we learned early in our recovery that we need to apply in leadership now, whether you're a stay-at-home mom or a stay-at-home mom or a dad, or you're leading your family, or you're in the business community, you're in a vocational ministry, whatever you're doing, there can be some habits that we can carry on into leadership to live out Principle 8 effectively, to create endurance and sustainability. So today, I'm going to talk about some healthy habits that can foster growth and healthy leadership, spiritual growth with those that we are called to lead. Welcome to Hope and Recovery, a Fellowship Celebrate Recovery podcast that shares hope and healing for our mental, spiritual, emotional, and relational journey, all through life change stories and recovery topics, all centered around the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5, and the Celebrate Recovery principles, where we learn to face our hurts, hangups, and habits and broken relationships the way Jesus intended, so that we can find purpose and meaning for our life and walk in that newness of life and live out bringing that good news and blessing to others that we've experienced in our recovery, so that we can find that purpose, as I mentioned earlier. I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ. I struggle with drugs and alcohol and perfectionism. My name is Rodney. I'm the pastor and leader of Fellowship Bible Church in Rogers, Celebrate Recovery, and it is so good to be back with you here today. I just want to keep reminding you about, can you place a review and a rating on the podcast wherever you listen? That's so important just for traction for us, that more people will catch wind of our podcast and maybe reach other people. And thank you for the feedback you've been giving us. I'm so grateful for the encouragement and even ideas, some great ideas coming through. But hey, today I was talking to a group in Texas about this, and I thought, you know, this would be some good content to share with our friends and family on our podcast. And so I want to walk through some habits. You know, when we come into Celebrate Recovery, we're walking in with some bad habits, aren't we? We've got these habits that have pulled us into some bad spaces. Now, when I say addicts or addictions, sometimes our mind immediately goes to substances. That's a part of it. Sometimes it goes to pornography. That's a part of it. Sexual addiction. That's a part of it. But sometimes it's addiction to approval. And we get stuck in trying to perform and believing some narratives that if we don't keep everyone happy, then our life is going to fall apart. And what ends up happening is it falls apart, and we do start reaching for some of those numbing agents. And so what is so important, the same map that helped us in day one of recovery when we walked in with those habits is so essential for us in leadership, whether you're leading, and hear me clearly, even with leadership, we think, well, I know what a leader is, and I'm not that. We're all leaders in some form, and it starts with our own families. And are you leading your family well? And so these practices are not just helpful for ministry and vocational ministry. Remembering our first ministry is our family. It's applicable to our families at home. But I was thinking about the process of Celebrate Recovery, and I think it really kind of spins into this conversation as well. Ephesians 1:19-20, and I love this. It's just this prayer to the people in Ephesus, and listen to this. And this is such a good thing when we're thinking about Celebrate Recovery. I pray that you will begin to understand how incredibly great His power is to help those who believe in him. I love that. I pray that you'll begin to understand how incredibly great his power is to help those who believe in him. What's cool about that is it's not just for our hurts, habits, and hangups and our relationships. It's for anything to help those. He has his great power to help those who believe in him. So he's willing to help us in the role that he's put us in. And then goes on to say, it is that same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead. So the same power that raised Jesus from the grave, you and I have access to. So that power, that word power, and I was sharing this recently with some friends, the Greek word for power is dunamis. You didn't know I spoke Greek, did you? Well, I am today. Dunamis. And it can be translated, and this is a word for power in the Greek and in the scriptures. It can be translated in two ways. One is dynamite, which is an explosive, which is an explosive force. Dynamite. That's a pretty big power. But the second way it can be translated is dynamo, which is a constant flow of power. So we have this explosive force that's a constant flow of power, dynamite and dynamo. That's the word for power. You know, 57 times in the New Testament, it uses this word dunamis in the Greek to explain this incredible, most life-changing experiences that give us the power to celebrate our recovery, by the way, I call the resurrection. And in Christ, you and I, because of Jesus and the Holy Spirit, what Jesus did on the cross, and ultimately the Holy Spirit coming to be our helper in time of need, that same power, mighty power that raised Christ from the dead, you and I have access to. In Christ, we have access to both that explosive force and a constant flow of power. That's pretty cool. So through him, we have access to both of those, and we can break those chains, the chains that bind us and limit us or keep us stuck or keep us from living out God's purpose for our life so that we can walk victoriously in his power today. And it's kind of cool to think about the strongholds that we had in our past. This is a different kind of stronghold. I want that kind of stronghold. I want his explosive force and constant flow of power living and breathing inside of me. And so that's what Celebrate Recovery does, right? It helps us to face our hurts, hangups, and habits and broken relationships so we can find healing and find our purpose and we find meaning for the first time. And the cool thing is principle 8 is living out that purpose to become willing to be used about both by our words and by our actions, having had this spiritual experience, we get to be a part of Christ's mission. So with that lens, I want to set the table with that because it's that same power, explosive force, and constant flow of power that will help us in fostering spiritual growth, in leadership, effective communication, servant leadership. And there's some habits that we can begin to form, new strongholds in our life that will help us in ministry, in our first ministry being our own family that we can follow. So some of these things are going to sound like, well, duh, I knew that. Anybody knows that. But sometimes it's good to be reminded. I've kind of jokingly said this. Me and my wife married 32 years ago. And on our wedding day, I told her that I love her. And you know what's weird is she still likes to hear me tell her that I love her every once in a while. So I told you on our wedding day, right? Sometimes, yeah, we know, but we need to hear it. And sometimes we need reminder. So maybe this is a conversation of just a reminder. So right out of the gate, you know, just thinking about some of those habits that we need to prioritize to foster that growth and effective leadership, servant leadership. That first one is prayer, meditation, and scripture study. Principle 7, don't miss the order of the principles. Principle 7 comes before principle 8. Sometimes we can make principle A to be used to bring this good news to others, both by our words and our example, as I'm just going to make it happen and then I'll figure it out under my own power. The only way I can sustain the growth and effectiveness, sustainability, is to make sure I'm doing that in the right order, to live out principle 7, this regular communion with God through my prayer and meditation. And you know, sometimes it is the list. It is the prayer list. It's praying for our friends. It's reading and studying the Word. Sometimes it's just sitting with Him. When's the last time you just sat with Jesus and just breathed? Lord, here I am. I just want to sit with you. Speak to me, Lord. Fill me up. Just remind me of who you are and remind me of who I am. But it is important to get into His Word, because that's how He can shape us. And when we're reading His Word, sometimes we can get hung up in the quantity. And I think it's even more important, the quality. And by that, I mean sometimes just picking a passage, and there may be something that jumps out at you. Go ahead and stop. What is that? Lord, what is that? Read it slowly and ask God, what are you trying to say to me right now? And then it becomes the prayer point. But listening to the Holy Spirit, listening to God speak to us, and sometimes something will jump out and say, oh, I don't know what that is. I was thinking of the woman at the that had the hemorrhaging for, I think it was 12 years of hemorrhaging. And Jesus, this happened to me when I was reading recently. Jesus is on His way to heal Jairus' son. And en route, He's walking through a crowd. And this woman who's been hemorrhaging reaches out and touches the bottom of His robe. And Jesus feels that. And He said, who touched me? And that's a fascinating story. And I love how Scripture kind of hits us between the eyes. And this is what hit me in this scenario. Scripture says that He turned around and He looked for her. He engaged with this woman to see what her needs were and to connect with her. Here's where in leadership it's so important. When I'm spending time meditating and reading His Word, there can be little reminders that He might show us about ourselves, in our leadership, in our character, whatever. And in this scenario, He said, Rodney, what I want you to hear, because that was the question, Lord, why is this jumping out to me? I've read this so many times. Why is this jumping out? And He said, what's important is you may be en route to something very, very important. And I don't want to discount that. But sometimes there's going to be things that come across your path that you need to stop and engage with, even if you feel like where you're headed is very important. We had a recent leader, had a parent that died suddenly. I had a lot on my plate that I needed to go do, but that day I needed to stop and be present with this sister who lost her mom suddenly. And that's so important, just to be reminded. And we see in Mark 5:6, when he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of Him. If we're not spending time falling on our knees with the Father, then we're gonna find ourselves in an unhealthy rhythm, and we're gonna miss those opportunities because we're not attuned with the Father. When we're not attuned with the Father, we can't be attuned with other people that He's placed in our path. So continually studying, reflection on the Bible can provide that solid foundation for decision-making and teaching, and just making sure that we're hearing from the Holy Spirit. I think with that is humility. Humility is an important one. It's not something we can manufacture on our own. As leaders, we have to lead with humility. Now, recognizing that we need Jesus just as much as those that we're leading. And in that humility, we start to understand the incredible contributions of the others that God has put in our path. You know, one of the greatest traps in leadership is we start to believe and read the headlines and believe the headlines that are being written about us. You know, the praises and all the accolade, all the stuff that is out there of how great you're doing and all that. Nothing wrong. Don't get me wrong. Encouragement is so important, and it's important to receive encouragement. And that's a whole different conversation if you have trouble receiving encouragement. But don't believe the press clippings that are being written about you so much so that you lose your humility and it becomes prideful. Philippians 2:3-4 says, Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. When we walk in humility, it gives us an understanding that it's not about us. A humble leader can create space in humility to listen to the input of others, encourage some of those. Maybe somebody brings an idea that doesn't line up with your idea, and it, you know, we create an openness and curious space with that, and we value all the members of our team in that space. Humility is essential for us to build a walk in effectiveness in leadership. So I'm going to take a super quick break here. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation of some of those healthy practices in leadership to be able to do ministry, starting with our own first ministry, our family, so that we can have sustainability. Stick with me, and I'll be right back to continue the conversation. Hey friends, if you're looking for a local meeting, we have two meetings here at Fellowship Fayetteville, Fellowship Rogers, the same schedule, 6 p.m. We have Connection Cafe meal, and then 7 o'clock we start with the meeting. We'd always love for you to join us. But don't forget, we've got a lot of other local meetings here in the area. You can go to fellowshipcr.org to find a full list, and we hope you'll find a Celebrate Recovery near you and join us. We'd love to walk alongside you as we celebrate our recovery together. fellowshipcr.org for more information. Welcome back. Right before the break, just talking about humility and, that's such an important thing. It really ties back into that first point of the prayer meditation with the Father, because when we start getting prideful, there's probably a good chance that we've disconnected from the vine. We're no longer getting fruit from Him. We're trying to produce fruit on our own. And that's important just to be mindful of the order of that. But I think with that, the next thought is that servant leadership. And we hear about that a lot. But how do we follow Jesus' example of servant leadership? We're prioritizing serving others rather than seeking personal gain or recognition. And one of my favorite stories in Scripture is in John chapter 11, the story of Lazarus. And you guys probably are familiar with it, but Jesus is on his way. Martha comes, you know, Lazarus is dead, you know, I need your help. And Jesus weeps, and we know that story. But he goes to the grave where Lazarus is dead, and he yells out, "Lazarus, come forth." And I love where it picks up there after Lazarus walks out. It says, "The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, 'Take off the grave clothes and let him go.'" Now, here's what's fascinating to me in this. Jesus Christ just did one of the, precedes his own miraculous resurrection, but he does something that is mind-boggling. He had the power to take someone who is deader than dead, and he raised him from the dead. Now, it's good to think about the same power that raised Jesus, the same power that raised Lazarus is this explosive force and a constant flow that you and I have inside of us as leaders. Do you think if Jesus could do that, to raise this man from the dead, that he would have the power to take the clothes off? Of course he would. But isn't it fascinating? It's such a great reminder that we have a part in this ministry story. We get to take the grave clothes off. He looks to the people to his left and to his right, and he says, "Take the grave clothes off." That's servant leadership. We get to be a part of helping people experience the renewal of their life. And we get to be a part of leading other people, starting with our own family, to help them learn new things, even if it doesn't make sense, staying patient with them and walking in that space so that they can walk in that newness of life with this new wardrobe. They don't have to walk with that old wardrobe anymore. But it reminded me of a story when I was in Guatemala, and some of you have heard me share this before, but we went to Guatemala and basically the slums. I mean, it was pretty bad. There was a river of sewage running through this little community. People stacked up on top of each other in these little huts. But this one lady, she had Huntington's chorea, and basically her body shook constantly. She could barely keep enough calories in her body to gain any weight. In fact, she was skinny as a rail. But we were helping her because she didn't have the physical capacity to move some things around and clean some things up. And we were helping her with her house and repairing some things. And so we were working all morning. They had packed some lunches for us. And they made bologna sandwiches with ketchup. Sidebar, I don't know if you're one of those people that eats ketchup on your bologna, but I'm trying really hard not to judge you right now. I don't like it. But anyway, that's the sidebar. I'm not judging you if you like that. That's your thing. But she's eating, they pack these bologna sandwiches with ketchup and chips and banana kind of thing. Well, anyway, so we had these sack lunches that they made us back at camp. So we took a break and we were eating our lunches. And you ever get that feeling of somebody's watching you? And as we're eating, scarfing down our lunches, I was pretty hungry, even enough to eat a bologna sandwich with ketchup. And I look over to my right, and I see this little boy, this lady with Huntington's chorea. They were dirt poor. And it dawned on me when I looked at this little boy with his face, his eyes locked in with mine. He probably hadn't eaten this morning. And he's looking at me eat my lunch, and I could tell the kid was hungry. And so me and my sister in Christ, Angela, we're like, oh my gosh, we're trying to break up our lunches, and we're, you know, trying to gather it to give to this little boy so that he could eat and take it to his sister to eat. And I expected him just to devour the food in front of him, but he didn't do that. He actually turned around, went back into the house where his mom was, and he said, Mama, and he gave all of his food to his mom because he knew his mom needed the food. Whew, you want to talk about conviction. Here I am griping and complaining about bologna with ketchup. And this kid hadn't eaten. His mom is dying and needing calories. And he thought about his mom above himself. That's crazy servant leadership. And that's something we have to be mindful of. And here's what I'm reminded of. God isn't impressed with my gifts and my strengths. He wants me to be his servant, and he wants me to be dependent on him and allow his strength to work through me, that explosive force that's constantly flowing through me. First comes to me, works in me, and works through me. I got to be dependent on him and continue to be a servant leadership, looking at the people around me as his kids. So servant leadership, what about effective communication? It's so important that we're communicating with each other, those that we're leading, and taking time. And remember, communication is not just information. This is what I said. That's more. There's more to communication. Some of you have heard me talk about this in our trainings on the road, but most of the communication is the way we share it. The data is important. We got to be clear, but we got to be compassionate in our communication. That kind of fosters this space of understanding, fosters unity. So as I'm communicating, I need to make sure that I'm expressing kind of what I need very clearly, but I'm doing it with compassion and open, empathetic communication with those that I'm leading. And ultimately, I want to, in that space, to create safety so that people can share their struggles with me, so they can share ideas, so they can share feedback. Now, just because they share an idea doesn't mean you have to use every one of their ideas, but I need to be quick to listen in that space and stay curious in those conversations. Am I listening to the counsel of people around me and ideas and feedback and not taking that personal? But Proverbs 12:15 says, "The way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice." So effective leaders listen carefully and consistently to the people around them so that we can make better decisions. Here's a cool thing. We are all created in the image of God. That means all of us have something to offer. And even if the idea that they bring to the table is not the one we use, it may spur through our curiosity a better idea. And that's such an important thing. I don't want to get stuck in that space of this is the way we've always done it. And that's hard the longer we've been in ministry when we know something's been effective to listen to a differing or conflicting opinion. Now, wait a minute, let me hear this out. Even if we tried that years ago, it didn't work. Hey, I want to hear you out. Maybe there's a different spin. Maybe it didn't work then, but it would work now. Hey, I'm willing to give it a shot, you know. But it's this curious posture and make sure that we're effective in communicating the why. We may not go that route, but not shutting it down and making sure we're open to feedback. And guys, this all these things are good for all aspects of our life. They help us to lead well. They help us to be sustainable, to be effective, to foster growth, to foster spiritual growth, to have effective communication, servant leadership, etc., to kind of help us be sustainable in ministry. I'm going to pause there, and I'm going to pick up with a part two to wrap up. Well, I hope this has been helpful for you. You know, the enemy wants to take what God has made for good, and he wants to try to distract us. He wants to feed us with lies that we got to do it under our own power, and we have to be people pleasers, and we have to be perfectionists, and that just creates this rigidity and anxiousness and anger, which always ripples over onto other people. And so these habits are so essential for us to live out God's calling and purpose for our life, and I hope it's been a blessing for you to kind of take some of these in, whether you're a stay-at-home mom, a dad working in construction, stacking chairs, or working in the kitchen. Wherever you are, God can use you, and these can be things to apply to our life. Hey, thanks so much for being with me today. As always, we're so grateful, and I pray that you'll join me next time. Until then, God bless.